I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is July 24th, 2011. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic, an essay taken from the website of Global Media Outreach. You can find a link to their website in the Word document associated with this podcast. I couldn't find any names, so I will simply refer to them as Global Media. On their homepage, the essay begins. Just as there are physical laws that govern the physical universe, so are there spiritual laws which govern your relationship with God. Global Media. Humans have discovered, and continue to discover, the physical laws that govern our universe. The spiritual laws to which you refer to, however, are only to be found in Iron Age texts supposedly given to humans by ghosts. And now they give the first law. God loves you and offers a wonderful plan for your life. God's love, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Global Media. What's this big deal about one and only Son? If he really is God and the creator of the universe, then he could create another Son anytime he wanted. As for eternal life, I'm afraid I have some rather bad news for you. That violates the second law of thermodynamics. They continue, God's plan, John 10:10, I came that they might have life, and might have it abundantly. And then they explain that that means that it might be full and meaningful. And then Global Media asks, why is it that most people are not experiencing the abundant life? Well, Global Media, for one thing, millions of them die very young. The ones who do survive face a life of struggle against which many will die from war, crime, accidents, and disease. I believe that your Bible states that God is the cause of all things. Therefore, you can put those deaths in his column. And now they explain why people are not experiencing the abundant life. Because, law number two, man is sinful and separated from God. Global Media, I long for the day when we will be separated from God and can focus our efforts on life here in the real world instead of on rewards in an imaginary afterlife. They said, therefore, man cannot know and experience God's love and plan for his life. Global Media, explain to me how a puny human like myself can thwart the plan of an all-powerful God. You make him sound more like that guy behind the curtain in The Wizard of Oz. They said, man is sinful. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Well, Global Media, if you read God's autobiography, you'll discover that his morals fall far short of the glory of man. So why don't we just call it even? They said, man was created to have fellowship with God. But because of his stubborn self-will, he chose to go his own independent way, and fellowship with God was broken. Global Media, perhaps man went his own way because he wasn't particularly interested in slavery, stoning people to death for minor rule infractions, genocide, genital mutilation, and human sacrifice. They said, this self-will, characterized by an attitude of active rebellion or passive indifference, is evidence of what the Bible calls sin. Global Media, I can't rebel against what I don't believe exists. It would first have to exist before I could rebel against it. I may exhibit passive indifference toward your delusions, but rest assured, none of us are passively indifferent to the evils that you ghost worshippers continue to heap upon all of humanity. They said, man is separated. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. And they explain death to mean spiritual separation from God. Global Media, The reason you redefine the word death is because Adam didn't die on the day he ate the fruit as God said he would. Therefore, to hide this contradiction, you are forced to reinterpret Scripture so that death now means spiritual separation. The sad part is that you don't even see how pathetic you look when you go to such great lengths to redefine words to hide obvious contradictions. The essay continues, God is holy and man is sinful. Half right, global media. Many people are sinful. But you've yet to prove your God exists. If you could do that, then you could worry about trying to prove he's holy. However, to do that, you would first have to destroy every Bible in existence, because the last word any rational person would ever use to describe the brutal monster that you worship would be holy. They said, a great gulf separates the two. Global media, not great enough. They said, man is continually trying to reach God and the abundant life through his own efforts, such as seeking to lead a good life, philosophy, or religion, but he inevitably fails. Global media, two-thirds of the Earth's inhabitants are not trying to reach your God. They either worship other gods or no God at all. And what evidence do you offer to support your contention that they fail? By almost any standard of comparison, their lives are far more abundant than those of people who, like you, only worship death. Their essay continues. The third law explains the only way to bridge this gulf. 3. Jesus Christ is God's only provision for man's sin. Through him, you can know and experience God's love and plan for your life. Global media. Instead of sending his son down to earth to fry like a piece of bacon on a wooden cross, wouldn't it have been a million times easier to just learn how to forgive? They said, he died in our place. Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Global media, well, there certainly is a great moral rule to teach our children. It's okay to let someone else take horrible punishment for something you did wrong. I can't wait to teach my kids that one. I think I'll give them that lesson right after the one where I tell them that God and Jesus were both okay with owning slaves, provided that you don't mistreat them. They continue, he rose from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 3 through 6. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised on the third day. According to the scriptures, he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500. Global media, yet not one person thought that this resurrection was important enough to even write it down for decades. That sounds more like the reaction to something that didn't happen, rather than to something that did. They said, he is the only way to God. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Global media. Thousands of fruitcakes have made that same claim. The only thing that makes him different is your belief in his claim. Global media said, God has bridged the gulf which separates us from him by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in our place to pay the penalty for our sins. Global media, how did sending his Son bridge the gap with Muslims, or Hindus, or Buddhists, or non-believers? Since only one-third of the earth believes in your God, it sounds like they could have put that cross to much better use. Hey, maybe they could have used it as a battering ram to force their way into a temple where they could then rape the eunuchs. They said, however, it is not enough just to know these three laws. That's right, global media. We must never forget about the most important law of all, the fourth law, the one where we give you your 10%. And now global media gives us the fourth law. We must individually receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Then we can know and experience God's love and plan for our lives. Global media, Why was it necessary to add this one? Of course you have to accept him individually. What is the alternative? A Mooney-style mass wedding? They said, we must receive Christ. John 1, verse 12. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Global media. So that old saying that we are all children of God is just BS? They said, we receive Christ through faith. And they quote Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. Global media, now you're talking. Salvation is a gift, as you just stated. It is not something you earn. In fact, God makes it even clearer in Ephesians 1, 3 through 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Global media, not much ambiguity there. It's already been decided who will accept Jesus, which means that your website is a complete waste of time. They said, we receive Christ by personal invitation. Global media, that's what I just said, and what God just said. Heaven is by invitation only, and the invitations have already been mailed out. Now they quote Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him. Global media. Unfortunately, for 4.5 billion people on earth, he isn't knocking on their door. The essay continues. Receiving Christ involves turning to God from self, repentance, and trusting Christ to come into our lives to forgive our sins and to make us what he wants us to be. Global media, another sterling example of a powerful moral teaching. Commit any atrocity you desire, murder, rape, incest, it doesn't matter. All you have to do is ask an invisible man to forgive you, and you are home free. Now we've got three great moral lessons to teach our kids. I just can't wait to see how they turn out with all these great ideas. Global media said, just to agree intellectually that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died on the cross for our sins is not enough. Global media, did you really say intellectually? They said, nor is it enough to have an emotional experience. You receive Jesus Christ by faith as an act of the will. Global media, faith means believing that for which there is no evidence. Faith is only required by those who have no other way to convince people to believe them. Global media said, the following explains how you can receive Christ. You can receive Christ right now by faith through prayer. And then they explain that prayer is talking to God. Global media, you actually had to explain that prayer is talking to God? Boy, you are really aiming for the bottom of the educational barrel, aren't you? They said, God knows your heart and is not so concerned with your words as he is with the attitude of your heart. The following is a suggested prayer. Lord Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I open the door of my life and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Global media, according to your Bible, that prayer only works if you are one of the lucky pre-chosen ones, in which case, you don't even need the prayer. Their prayer continues, thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me eternal life. Take control of the throne of my life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Global media, you people are servile, obsequious little sycophants. Excuse me while I go puke. Global media said, does this prayer express the desire of your heart? If it does, I invite you to pray this prayer right now and Christ will come into your life, as he promised. Global media, Christ also promised to come back to earth before all his disciples died, and that was 2,000 years ago. Christ also promised to answer prayers, and I've been waiting for Lola to call for almost 20 years now. Just out of curiosity, Global Media, what promises has he kept? And their essay concludes with the verse of the day, Romans 5:3-4. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Global Media, there is a much easier route to hope, and it doesn't require an invisible ghost. And now we move to the science segment. Today's topic, angry wasps capture intruding ants, fly away, then airdrop them. The story begins. What's a wasp to do when ants are ruining its picnic? According to a new study, pick the little pests up and airdrop them out of the way. That's the strategy of the common yellow jacket wasp when competing with ants for food. The wasp, also known as Vespula vulgaris, is native to the northern hemisphere, but has invaded temperate areas in the southern hemisphere, including New Zealand, where the drag-and-drop behavior was observed. This is the first time wasps have been seen physically relocating ants in an attempt to compete for food. The unexpected flight, which leaves ants confused but usually unharmed, also reveals the invasive wasp's cleverness. Ants and wasps battle relatively frequently. Wasps have even been seen picking up and dropping ant scouts that show up near nests looking to snack on wasp larvae. But those are defensive, not competitive, behaviors. The South Island of New Zealand is a hotspot for the invasive wasp. In the forests on the island, aphids and other tiny insects feed on beech tree sap. These bugs have little use for the sugars the sap contains, so they excrete those sugars as a sticky liquid called honeydew. Ants and wasps, on the other hand, love honeydew. Researchers wanted to understand how the invasive wasps compete with native ants for food. So they set up cameras at 48 stations baited with canned tuna, since protein is in shorter supply than sugar in the honeydew-rich forests. All but three of the stations attracted both wasps and ants. Over the course of the months-long study, ants and wasps crossed paths more than 1,000 times. Most of the time, the two species quickly went their separate ways. But in a quarter to a third of cases, the interactions were far less civil. The first surprise was to see that despite being 200 times smaller, the ants are able to hold their own by rushing at the wasp, spraying them with acid and biting them. But the most amazing was to observe that wasps, apparently frustrated by having to compete with ants, will pick them up in their mandibles, fly off, and drop them away from the food. The researchers saw the involuntary ant flight 62 times at 20 different bait stations. The wasps didn't bother to take the ants far, usually dropping them only a few centimeters from the tuna. But that was enough. About half the time, the discombobulated ants never made it back to the tuna. Even when the ants did make it back, the wasps beat them there 75% of the time. If the ant dropping was explained by competition, it would increase when the food was in shorter supply. The researchers watched the videos frame by frame, counting the number of ants and wasps present during the airdrop episodes. Researchers found that as the number of ants on the food increases, so does the frequency of ant dropping and the distance the ants are taken. Results thus show very clearly that by dropping ants away, these wasps try to facilitate their access to the food resources and to gain more for themselves, and they do it in a very effective manner. The wasps could try to kill the ants, but relocating them is probably a safer option. For one thing, there's not a lot of meat on an ant, making them useless as wasp prey. Then there's the tendency of the native New England ant to spray attackers with an acidic chemical cocktail. If the wasp was to bite into an ant, to crunch it and kill it, it would probably get a mouthful of some of these compounds. It wouldn't be a pleasant experience. Although the wasps are all over the globe, these airborne food competitions seem to be unique to New Zealand. That may be because wasps are so abundant in the beech forest there that food competition has become particularly cutthroat. So far, attempts to beat back the invasive wasp have been unsuccessful, but understanding the competition between species could help. The more researchers know about the behavior of an invasive species or interactions with other species, the more likely they are to find an Achilles heel. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Paul-Henri Thierry, more famously known as Baron de Holbach, born 1723, died 1789 at the age of 65. The Baron was a French-German author, philosopher, encyclopedist, and a prominent figure in the French Enlightenment. He lived and worked mainly in Paris, where he kept a salon. He is best known for his atheism and for his voluminous writings against religion, the most famous of them being The System of Nature in 1770. And now for the quote from Baron de Holbach. If we go back to the beginning, we shall find that ignorance and fear created the gods, that fancy, enthusiasm, or deceit adorn them, that weakness worships them, that credulity preserves them, and that custom, respect, and tyranny support them in order to make the blindness of men serve their own interests. If the ignorance of nature gave birth to gods, the knowledge of nature is calculated to destroy them.
Are you ready, Greece? Start walking.